Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and with the Lord's help, we're going to continue on in a message that I started yesterday, and that is regarding the first miracle that Jesus did at Cana of Galilee. And I've entitled the message, Filled with New Wine. And in case you didn't hear yesterday's broadcast, it was the first miracle that he performed. It was quite different from any other miracle. In the fourth chapter of Luke, as he stood up in the synagogue when he came to Nazareth, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And then it says, he closed the book, gave it to the minister, sat down, and said, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And Jesus came, as we know, to open the eyes of the blind, spiritually as well as physically. He healed the sick. He cleansed the lepers. He raised the dead. He did all manner of good works that brought deliverance to man, not only just preaching the wonders of the gospel, the good news that he came to bring, but also touching the heart and the spirit of man, healing physical bodies. And as I brought yesterday's broadcast to a close, his mother Mary let him know they were out of wine, and he said, you know, what is that to do with me? Well, and why did he change his mind, apparently? He didn't respond to social pressure. He wasn't just being a good Jewish boy to obey his mom, but he obviously sought his father and realized this was, he got the okay, and the father wanted him to do this to demonstrate the goodness and the lavishness of the Lord at a very important occasion, because weddings are really important in the Jewish culture. And so I would suggest to you that this was a prophetic demonstration, if you will, of what God is doing since the time of Jesus. There's a prophetic enactment of what God desires to do in the hearts and lives of people. So what actually happened? Let's review. There were six water pots of stone. And six, of course, if you are familiar with biblical numerology, it is the number of man. They were composed of stone, which is a hard, solid, non-metallic mineral matter. And that's, of course, what rock is composed of. And I would suggest to you, it represents us as believers who started as water pots, basically. And they were designed, of course, for ceremonial washing and cleansing, normally used for the washing of feet. They were, when they were full, they were about 150 gallons. They were big, at two or three firkins apiece, the King James says, about a fourth of a barrel of water, or about 9 English gallons. So that illustrates he used these water pots. He could have done it some other way, but he was demonstrating the extravagance of our God. He said, fill the water pots with water. They had wine left over, even after that whole week of celebration. And so, beloved, we are, if you will, water pots of stone. And when we're born again, our bodies become temples of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwells in our spirit man, which, of course, we are tripartite, body, soul, and spirit. The Word of God tells us we have this treasure. that treasure is Jesus, is the Holy Spirit, in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. And remember, before his suffering and death, Jesus was with his disciples. It records this in John, the 20th chapter, verses 21 and 22. He says, "Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so I send you." He was giving the Great Commission. And when he said this, the scriptures say, he breathed on them and saith unto them, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost," which I guess you could say they were born again at that time, if you will. But what were the end of his instructions? That wasn't, they received the Holy Spirit, but he wanted them filled to overflowing, even as the water pots at that marriage supper. So let me read now the first chapter of Acts, verses 4, 5, and 8. "And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he," these are the words of Jesus, "ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." And then in verse 8, it says, "But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." And this, of course, we call the Great Commission. Jesus has never rescinded that. That is what he has called his church to do. So let's go back again and look a little more closely at this miracle. Wine in Scripture, it's not just the physical juice of the grape, if you will. In Scripture, it's symbolic of joy, of blessing, of sound teaching, as well as the Holy Spirit. Let me share some scriptures. Psalm 104, 14 and 15 says, "He causes the grass to grow for cattle, an herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth, and wine that maketh glad the heart of man, and oil to make his face to shine, and bread which strengtheneth man's heart." He gives, he supplies all of our physical needs. And in Joel, speaking of the restoration of Judah, the third chapter, verse 18, the word says, "And it shall come to pass in that day that the mountains shall drop down new wine, the hills shall flow with milk," speaking of spiritual abundance and natural abundance, "and all the rivers of Judah shall flow with water, and a fountain shall come forth of the house of the Lord, and shall water the valley of Shittim." And again, we see the ultimate, this is God's plan. Some people say, well, God's done with Israel. No, he's not. He definitely has plans for Israel. Jew and Gentile alike shall be part of his royal family. He is desiring the ultimate restoration of the Davidic kingdom. The word speaks of the knowledge of the Lord shall cover the earth as waters cover the sea. And then that significant and beautiful passage found in the book of the prophet Amos, the 9th chapter, verses 11 through 13. And this is, of course, referring to the days in which we are living. He says, "In that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen, and close up the breaches thereof. And I will raise up his ruins, and I will build it as in the days of old, that they may possess the remnant of Eden, and all the heathen which are called by my name, saith the Lord that does this. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord." This is the scriptural prophecy, "that the plowman shall overtake the reaper," talking about the abundance and the richness of God's blessings, "shall overtake the reaper and the treader of grapes, him that soweth seed. And the mountains shall drop," or drip, "sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt or flow with it. So God is going to do a quick work in these last days. He is bringing restoration to his people. He's healing the brokenhearted, the same work that Jesus did in his earthly ministry. He did as a man. He didn't do it as the Son of God. He did it as a man that was anointed by the Holy Spirit. Remember, before he started his ministry, he went to John the Baptist to fulfill all righteousness, if you will. And John says, like, "Behold the Lamb of God, why are you coming to me?" And he said, "Let us fulfill all righteousness." So John baptized him, and he saw the Holy Spirit descend upon Jesus in the form and as a dove. And so that same Holy Spirit enabled him to do the works that he did. And Jesus said, even greater works would we do because he went to the Father. And so the Holy Spirit will enable us to do those very same works. And so God wants his people filled with the Spirit. And that's basically required to do the works that Jesus did. That's why he told his disciples, don't go anywhere. You know what? I've given you a commission. You know, you're to heal the sick, raise the dead. But don't do anything. Stay in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. And that was what we call the day of Pentecost, when they heard the sound of a rushing mighty wind. And there was a physical symbol, if you will, of a tongues of fire alighting upon each of their heads. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, my time has flown, and with the Lord's help, we'll conclude this message tomorrow. I thank you for joining me. But as I always do, I give invitation. If you are struggling with some personal things in your life, there may be some things that you're really not comfortable sharing with anyone. Know that your letters are strictly confidential. I alone read and answer the mail. And as I read them, I will pray your letter. I will pray and ask God to move. And then if you share your mailing address, I will send back to you whatever the Lord gives to be an encouragement to your heart. God has moved mightily through this ministry of correspondence. And it's one of the joys and loves of my life. I love to, quote, answer the mail and to pray for the partners and those who write in. I love you. Thank you for your prayers and support. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.